This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Welcome to the Vic Police Glow Show. I'm Joy presenter Dean Chichi. Joining me today, Dani Houseman, LGBTI portfolio officer with the Victoria Police.
Hello, Dean.
How are you doing? And also joining us, Dinesh Netta, the multicultural liaison officer with the Victoria Police.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. And rounding out the panel today is Pauline Cremeri. Oh, did I say that right?
You did.
And Pauline's the coordinator of VAL's LGBTI Aging and Aged Care. Welcome.
Thank you.
On today's Glow Show, we're going to explore how do we keep older LGBTI people safe and supported in the community. Let's start with the folks on the Victoria Police. Dani, what are you guys doing?
Well, not only am I the LGBTI portfolio manager, I'm also the seniors portfolio manager for Victoria Police. And so that means I work across the whole organisation looking at all the different ways we engage with older community members and try to think, come at it from a really strategic perspective. So how can we ensure that we have consistent practice across the organisation? And also recognise the great work that a lot of the police on the ground are doing and have been doing for years in engaging with the community members. A lot of work that police do is actually, you know, going out, talking to people, visiting people in their homes. I think, Dinesh, that's something that you've had a bit of experience with.
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of in the multicultural world, I do a lot of presentations to elderly groups, especially in Yarra, where we have, you know, a lot of members from the Greek community, and also new and emerging communities, and we just basically educate them on you know, how to call police and, you know, not to be afraid, and what to do in an emergency and things like that.
I imagine that must be an issue, particularly for seniors. Some of them may have poor experiences or be uninformed about the services that are available from the Victoria Police.
Absolutely.
And maybe a knock at the door might be regarded as something to be concerned about.
A lot of them come from countries whereby they have a poor perception of police, so when they do see a police officer in uniform, sometimes they do get very afraid, and because of language barriers and things like that, you know, they might not be able to cope.
Now, Dinesh, you've mentioned there the safety talks. What is covered in the safety talk?
I think it's sort of confident living. So, you know, we as I said, we go out and tell them basically what happens when you call 000, how to speak to the operator, you know, how everything is recorded. And, you know, sort of encourage them to actually report on matters, you know, suspicious people in the neighbourhood and things like that, to bring it to our attention.
So imagine for some people, just even the process of ringing 000 can be quite confronting.
Absolutely, even for you know, the average Joe Blow in Australia. I think, you know, some people come from different countries. Sometimes they watch too many American movies. They might even dial 911 and not get anything. So it's really important to give out that 000 message.
And with seniors, do you have to also educate them about what's appropriate to ring 000 for, and perhaps what are the things they could perhaps reach out to other resources for support?
Yes, I think that's important as well, because, you know, what might seem important to them sometimes it's not necessarily an emergency, so it ties up the 000 phone number. So we do have to educate them sometimes and tell them that there are other resources out there.
Now, Dinesh, one of the other things you do, as I understand it, is welfare checks.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Sometimes we might get a phone call in relation to a neighbour who might not have seen an elderly person, you know, next door for a while. So the police will go across and knock on the door and, you know, make sure that person's okay. You know, they'll also refer them onto other services and the council and things like that, you know, if need be.
And when you say other services, like what sort of support?
Well, you know, there's quite a few elderly supports that, you know, that council do deliver. But, you know, we just have to make sure that, you know, that people are looking after them, that they have, you know, even family members looking after them and things like that.
And because I imagine that for some of our ageing in the community, social isolation might be an issue.
Yeah.
So is that part of the welfare check as well?
Yes, absolutely. And especially from, you know, people from multicultural backgrounds, you know, with the language factor, it's a really big factor in terms of reaching out to some services sometimes too. So I think it's important that we do go out and reach out to them.
And as you say, you've got issues around ageing and perhaps a culture or a history of suspicion, perhaps about the support from the police. You've got issues around language as a barrier. So, Dani, if you add in the LGBTI element as well, is that become a barrier as well for the ageing to reach out for support?
I think it absolutely does. I mean, as we know, the history between Victoria Police and the LGBTI community is not exactly stellar. There were laws in place for many years that outlawed homosexual acts. And so there are a lot of people, a lot of older community members now who lived through that experience and would never call police, because even when they did go to police where they had been, they had a crime committed, they were a victim, they often were charged with something when they came forward to police to report a crime that had been committed against them. So there are lots of work that police have been doing over the last 30, 40 years to try and improve that relationship since 1981, since the laws changed. And as we've discussed briefly before, the GLOWs are part of that. But we also reach out and do a lot of work with different organisations. So if we're not working with, for example, older people directly, we'll link in with, for example, the AIDS Aged Care Complaints Commission, or with Leading Age Services Australia, who are the peak body for aged care service providers. And we can talk to them about how police can assist with different issues. And they can educate their own networks and staff about how people that are receiving their services can engage with police.
Now, speaking of services they can access, Pauline, I want to ask you about VAL's LGBTI ageing and aged care. This rolls off the tongue. Tell me a little bit about your organisation and what you do.
So VAL's LGBTI ageing and aged care used to be known as VAL's Cafe.
Which does roll off the tongue a lot better.
A lot better, but for a whole range of reasons, ranging from when I'd phone a service provider, they'd say something like, oh, are you ringing about the catering? Or older LGBTI people, in fact, who may be socially isolated, as we've just been talking about, would ring wanting to come to VAL's cafe, remembering perhaps VAL's coffee lounge from the 50s in Swanson Street, Melbourne. So, well, VAL's LGBTI ageing and aged care is part of GLHV at the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. Specifically, we work with aged care service providers to increase the health, well-being and visibility of older LGBTI people within the services but also within the community.
And do you do research as well into their experience?
We're currently not funded to do research, but other parts of Arches and GLHV undertake research. We have previously undertaken research. We had a grant a few years ago that was provided by the federal government to help support the National LGBTI Ageing and Aged Care Strategy, and we did a range of research projects around older LGBTI people and carers, LGBTI people living with dementia, trans ageing and aged care research project, and a range of different projects working specifically with service providers.
None of us are getting any younger. I know my boyfriend always says to me, what are we going to do when we're old and grey? Who's going to look after us?
I know. Well, I think that is often what people think. And unfortunately, a lot of LGBTI people have a very acute fear of going into aged care and often don't recognise that there are a range of community aged care supports so that they can maintain living within the community and within their home. And I guess, you know, we recognise there are a range of issues for many older LGBTI people. Their home has historically been a safe place, and they also may fear that they have to go back into the closet if service providers are coming into their home.
And after being out of the closet for many years, that would be a hard trip to take.
Absolutely. And then there's also the issues of them going into residential aged care if they don't have the ability to remain living within the community. Perhaps they don't have the range of informal supports that other people in the community may have, like children, for example.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, Pauline, let's explore that a little bit more. So what support is available for people to remain living independently in the community?
So There's a range of services, both funded services and I guess also private services if you've got the means to access private services. But community home support programs, so things like home care, personal care, delivered meals, assistance with shopping. So the community home support program is provided by a range of providers, and I think Dinesh was mentioning before local councils. So local government has traditionally provided home help and things like that, but we're seeing a range of other providers come into to the landscape in recent years as well.
And I imagine we talked with Dinesh earlier about some people's perceptions of the police, but also letting people into your home. For some people who live an alternative lifestyle, an LGBTI lifestyle, which isn't necessarily alternative, but it can be very private. So to allow somebody into their home to even just do cleaning, I imagine could be quite confronting.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned, home for many older LGBTI people has traditionally been one of the only safe places. They could go home, close the door and lock out the discrimination and stigma from the outside world and, you know, be in their own sanctuary. And by means of having to have service providers coming into your home, bringing in their own values and beliefs, then that safe place might be violated. And it's our role, definitely at VELS, to work with service providers to ensure that we're providing safe and welcoming services to all people and including LGBTI people.
And do you think people in the aged care sector are alive and aware of the issues that LGBTI folk face, whether they're from a multicultural background or not?
I think we've got a lot better. I have a community aged care background and I think things have changed dramatically, definitely over the last 5 years with diversity planning and practice in Victoria. There's been some remarkable changes that have occurred across a whole range of diversity characteristics, but including LGBTI older people. And I think in Victoria, providers on, you know, pretty much have worked really well over the last 5 years to ensure that they are providing inclusive services for older LGBTI people.
It sounds like a very rewarding line of work. How long have you been doing this, Pauline?
Oh, well, too long. So I've worked at VELS since 2014. But previous to that, I worked in community aged care in a range of roles. But I worked for the first service provider to get the Rainbow Tick. And you know, recognising that it's really important that services are able to provide safe and inclusive services so that older LGBTI people can confidently access services.
I love the idea of a rainbow tick. How do we get me one? What's the criteria for a rainbow tick?
So there's six standards that were developed by GLHV, and the six standards are an audit and an official accreditation program, and services need to meet those standards and the range of indicators. It's quite rigorous, but it's a great foundation for providing LGBTI inclusive practice.
And what strikes me is it's almost scaffolding. It's almost ensuring a safety net for when people do access services with a rainbow tick, they can be confident that the organisation understands their needs.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it is the scaffolding and it is the structure that services can work within. And hopefully, like all quality programs, there's always continuous improvement. So you don't get to a point, get the tick and then rest on your laurels. You need to continuously ensure that your service is working and inclusive.
And I guess as our needs change, as the community changes, as time moves on, we may find that our society, that the needs of LGBTI people in the community might change as well.
Absolutely.
Dani, have you seen that change in the, I guess, from a Victoria Police point of view?
I think we've seen improving engagement. So people are increasingly willing to come forward and engage with police, but also where they're not satisfied with the service or lack of service that they have or perceive that they have experienced, they're more willing to complain and actually say, this is not acceptable, and explain what the problem was and what they think needs to be done about it. And that's really important because we can push for change from within the organisation, but having community members actually, you know, go through a formal complaint process, we listen to that. We should be able to do it otherwise, but it does make a difference.
Absolutely. And Dinesh, from a multicultural point of view, have you seen changes in that landscape as well?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen a lot of changes, and this year is my 20th year with Victoria Police. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. But yeah, just in my 20 years, I've seen a lot of changes, you know, to do with the multicultural portfolio. I think, especially when it comes to elderly, sometimes, you know, they're neglected, even with Victoria Police. And that's why I try and do as much as I can as a multicultural officer, not just to work with, you know, youth, you know, within that portfolio, but with the elderly as well.
So if you had one message for an aging multicultural person who might be LGBTI, what would that message be?
You know, stay safe. And, you know, if you have any issues, especially to do with crime, don't be afraid to ring the police and report matters. And we take them very seriously.
Fantastic. So if somebody is listening to this, they want to find out a little bit more about the Victoria Police and the work that you do in this area, what can they do?
Well, they can go to our website. There is some information on the Victoria Police website about the different communities we engage in. There's community safety information. So there are fact sheets, which just have really simple pointers about, you know, how to stay safe at home, how to keep your car safe, how to be sort of safe when you're walking out and about in the community. Particularly for LGBTI community members, there's some information there about the role of the LGBTI portfolio manager and also the list of GLOWs. So we update that. We try to update it about every month, and there are the contact details for the GLOWs located all across Victoria. So if you want to report something but you're not confident because you've had bad experiences or you're just not sure about calling the police, you can contact your GLOW. And there's also an email address and a central phone number where you can always call that if you're not confident calling your local station, or there isn't a GLOW at your local station, and we can help triage that internally to find an appropriate person for you to speak with.
Also, if you're part of a group, you can get in contact with one of the proactives, the local proactives, to come and speak to you on confident living and things like that.
I thought a guest speaker at a local...
Absolutely, absolutely, meeting. And we do that. And it's just a matter of getting in contact with your local proactive member, whether it be crime prevention, multicultural, and they'll come out and speak to you about confident living.
Fantastic. Help is at hand. And Pauline, if somebody wants to find out a little bit more about VAL's LGBTI aging and aged care services, what do they need to do?
They can go to our website, valslgbti.org.au, and glhv.org.au. As
fantastic.
Well.
Thank you all for your time. So thank you, Pauline Cramery. I got it wrong, aren't I? Cramery.
That's right.
From VAL's LGBTI Aging and Aged Care, Dani Houseman and Dinesh Natar from Victoria Police.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.